Well, hi everybody. I'm Beatty Cohn-Fredos, and welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beatty Show. And I have to share something with you that I'm going to need some help today. In fact, I am hoping that I'm going to be able to get through the show without coughing. It's been really, really, really a time of allergies and poor air quality here in New York. And it's interesting that, you know, sometimes until we experience a certain kind of phenomenon for ourselves, it's really, really difficult at times to identify with other people. I know over the years, friends and patients of mine have talked about allergies and allergy season and coughs. And I've been really, really fortunate that that's never been an issue. So again, that is the help that I'm going to be hoping for today with my hot water, my lemons, and my cough candies near me. I'm hoping to be able to get through the show. Well, for those of you who are wondering, who is this woman talking about her allergies and cough candies? I'm a psychotherapist and a sex therapist and the author of the groundbreaking book on relationships, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. I'm also the advice columnist for Dan's Papers in the Hamptons and Palm Beach. And by the way, even though you may not subscribe to Dan's Papers, you can always, always email me. And I would really love to hear your comments and your questions. And probably the easiest way to contact me is through my beattycohn.com website, where the email and all kinds of information about me that you would be able to find on the beattycohn.com website. I'm also a national speaker, been an expert guest in national radio and television for many, many years, actually since the book, the original book came out, which was in 1998. And I talk about the book a lot because I wrote the book for my daughter, Maya. And when we look at what is going on in the world of relationships today, you know, one might imagine, and erroneously, unfortunately, that despite all of the self-help books and talks and relationship coaches and therapists, that we are doing well. And in fact, we happen to be doing really, really poorly. And people are so disappointed and so frustrated and are very clearly unsure about why they are having the kind of relationship struggles that they do. You may be surprised, or maybe some of you may not be surprised to know that the divorce rate for first marriages is 48%. For second marriages, that number is 67%. And people are really, really surprised when I'll ask them, well, what do you think that the divorce rate is for third marriages? Well, it happens to be between 71 and 72%. So one has to wonder, like, what is it that is really going on? And much more importantly, it's not just the questions and the problems, but what is it, of course, that we need to do to really change this downward, very depressing spiral? And, you know, what I've discovered over the past 35 years, and I can hardly believe every week when I say 35 years that I've been a psychotherapist and sex therapist, it's amazing how quickly the time's gone. And of course, I love, love, love doing what I do. You know, what I do. I have a private practice here in New York City and also in East Hampton. But basically, I've identified, and it hasn't changed over all these years, the three reasons why people are struggling. And, you know, number one, if each of us is not in a good place emotionally, psychologically, psychiatrically, if we haven't worked through our issues as best as we can. I mean, nobody ever feels perfectly, perfectly. Maybe we do for a day. You know, we all have unfinished business of various different kinds and skeletons in our closet. And the very, very best thing that we need to do, even though we can't change our history, is to be committed to trying to emotionally work through as best as we can what did and didn't happen in our lives, that continue in the moment, in the present to really get in the way of our lives and our relationships. And if you need to reach out and get some good professional help, then so be it, because it really does make an incredible difference in our lives. If we're not in a good place and we're looking for the relationship, or we're looking for someone else to make our own problems and our issues disappear. So again, I know, and I hear this all the time from friends, from colleagues, from patients, that it takes an enormous amount of courage for people to reach out and ask for help. And yet, what are the alternatives if we continue to struggle on, and many, many people on a day-to-day basis? So that's number one, get yourself in as good a possible shape as possible, emotionally, psychologically, and psychiatrically. And the other thing is, again, despite all the talk and the media and then the movies and the books, people are still, they're not clear about the ingredients to go into a healthy relationship. And number three, I wish I could say that I needed to totally revamp and totally update my book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love, which describes in a lot of detail my 10-step formula for assessing and evaluating who is right for us and who is wrong for us before committing to any serious relationship. I mean, how oftentimes maybe you or your friends or family members, you know, you've said to yourselves or to others, I really didn't know who it was that I married or who I was living with. And what my research found, and again, I wish I could say that the results of the research have changed over the years, but they haven't. That it really takes about a year using my 10-step formula, which, by the way, is like having me in your wallet or in your purse. And the formula and the assessment process, it is not necessarily fun or sexy or romantic, yet it is absolutely critical. Again, you don't want to find yourself for the first or second or third or even fourth, you know, one of these very depressing, dismal statistics, so that you can really, in fact, we can all educate and empower ourselves with evidence-based knowledge, as unsexy and as unromantic as this knowledge really is. And I wish I could also say that somehow in our quick fix world that we would be able to fast forward the process. And, you know, for those of you who've been listening to the Ask Beattie show for almost 10 years, you know, I've talked a lot about before I did the research and before I did the book, how I would meet people. I would meet, you know, men, women. And, you know, my initial response was, oh, I met somebody who was really nice. I met somebody who, you know, who was great. And fortunately or unfortunately, since doing all this work, I would never, ever, ever, ever make that kind of a statement today. I mean, the best that I could say, the best that you could say, the best that we could all say is that we have met someone who appears to be great, appears to be nice, appears to be, you know, who he or she says that she is. And we need to play out the points of the match. Of course, you all know now that I'm a, you know, competitive tennis player, and that we can't fast forward the process. And in doing this, trust me, you will get the information that you absolutely need to have and to know. And in this way, you're going to be able to really keep yourself safe. Because again, you know, we talk about safety and I talk about domestic violence. Again, three women are killed every single day in the United States, not by a stranger, not by a random act, but by their, as I say, so-called intimate partner. So we need to do a much, much, much better job in protecting ourselves. So I hope I've convinced you of this. I mean, it's really, you know, it's something that I oftentimes say to my husband, Jim, that I wish I could, you know, be in your apartments or homes or cars during the show, and just to be able to see your reactions or to be able to have a conversation to see whether or not any of this really resonates with you. Because I'm very, very bottom line. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste your time with a lot of psychobabble. But when it does come to relationships, I mean, over the years, you know, it is what it is. And we have to really be willing to be very, very, very honest with ourselves. Well, here we are going to move in to my weekly How Are You Doing segment. And this is a segment, and it's the same segment every single week, where I ask you to take a really honest look at a number of different areas in our lives, our mental health. I mean, how are you doing? I mean, we all go through so many ups and downs in our life, but if you're finding that the depression or the anxiety or the eating disorder or other psychiatric problems, untreated, undiagnosed, perhaps psychiatric problems are getting in the way of your life. I mean, what are you going to do about this? And I know that insurance is really expensive. And I know that a lot of practitioners, including myself, are out of network practitioners. And yet, you know, I've seen people struggle and struggle, many for most of their lives, because they've been either reluctant or unable for a variety of reasons to reach out and ask for help. And as I was saying in last week's show, that if you're reaching out to a therapist, please give yourself permission to talk about a possible sliding scale arrangement. I do this with all of my patients. Yes, there are people who have a lot of money and where money is no object at all. And yet, you know, I see people who are struggling, and that they've been very, very reluctant to talk about fees. And yet initially, when you're meeting somebody, I mean, money is important to talk about. And I believe, and I don't know how many of, you know, other mental health practitioner types would feel about what I'm going to say, but if we really are in this to help people, what possible disadvantages are there to be willing and open to reducing the fee, you know, the fee, or working out a possible payment plan? So that's the mental health. And then in looking at our relationships, and I want to discuss an article that I actually wrote in Dan's Papers recently. And this is the question, you know, do you have people in your life who really care about you and who you can depend on? And are your relationships, and this is important, and you don't need a lot of people, you just maybe need one, if you're lucky, maybe two. And are your relationships with your significant other, your children, your family and friends largely positive? And this is a subject that we really need to be extremely, extremely honest with ourselves. And my most recent article in Dan's Papers, the headline is, Are You Ready to Honestly Evaluate Your Relationships? So I am asking you, the question, are you ready to honestly evaluate your relationships. And my producers, I love you guys at the Progressive Radio Network studio, just sent me a chat reminding me to drink some water. And yes, I am sipping some very, very hot water. And hopefully it's going to help sufficiently enough so that I can continue with the show. So here are some things that I want you to think about. No one likes confrontation. Not me, not you, probably most people don't. Because it typically makes most of us feel anxious and uncomfortable. And as a result, the majority of people will do almost anything, right, to avoid having the talk with people who have hurt, who have disrespected, or who have offended us. I mean, just think about it. You know, in your life, there are people, there may be people in your life currently, there may be people in your life from the past who really, you know, have hurt you or offended you or disrespected you in a lot of ways. And of course, my question to you is, what did you do? Did you do anything? Did you do nothing? Because I think that one way of rationalizing someone's bad behavior is to try and convince ourselves that the person was simply having a bad day and didn't mean to hurt our feelings. Now, that may be true. That may be true. Perhaps it was a one-time misstep. Okay, we can forgive that. On the other hand, think about this. We may blame ourselves, right, for being too sensitive, too needy, believing that we may have overreacted or even cause this person somehow to be insensitive and disrespectful to us. That may be true too on a particular occasion. However, I have treated hundreds and hundreds of women and men, by the way, over the years who were living in abusive and violent situations, who continually for years and years made excuses for their partner's abusive behavior. Now, does this sound familiar? Hopefully not, but it may. He didn't mean it. He's stressed at work. He had too much to drink. It's what he learned from growing up in a violent home. The excuses and rationalizations that we make for people who have injured us emotionally and even physically can go on and sometimes even for a lifetime. Ultimately, however, each of us needs to decide whether we will continue, whether we will agree to continue to engage in destructive, self-destructive, and self-sabotaging relationships of any kind, or whether we are willing to seek the necessary support and help, if necessary, and put an end to interacting with people who hurt us, even on occasion, regardless of who these people are, our friends, our partners, our bosses, our colleagues, our doctors, our dentists, anybody in our lives that we are interacting with who hurt us, who disrespect us, who offend us, we have a responsibility to ourselves. We don't need to put up with this to confront in a respectful and positive manner, and let people know that we will not put up with, and we will not enable this kind of behavior of any kind. And I'll tell you that it is not easy. I know that I think I'm a pretty assertive person, and yet there are situations, even situations today, where I need to let somebody know that it's not okay, that it was not okay that they didn't, you know, call back, that it was not okay that their words were insensitive. And what I'll do, I'll sit in my office here in New York, also in East Hampton, and I'll kind of speak out loud and I'll say, all right, how do I want to say this? So I do a little bit of, may sound silly, a little bit of rehearsal of how I'm going to go about saying what I really, really need to say, and yet saying it well, you know, so that I have to think about how I'm going to say it, where I'm going to say it. I've already decided to say it, so it's not going to be a question of if I'm going to say it, and how to do this in a way where I am going to be very, very clear about getting my upset and getting my message across. And this is a process, I think, that we can all learn to do, and we can certainly all learn to do better. Well, there was a very, and I started to talk about this about a week ago on the show, but there was a really interesting article in the New York Times, and I suggest for all of you, you can probably Google it and read the article in its entirety. And it was written by a Dr. Adam Grant. And he discusses, in quotes, how the most toxic relationships, right, poisonous relationships, aren't the purely negative ones. They're the ones that are a mix of positive and negative, you know, those kinds, where the roommate who gets you through a breakup and then starts dating your ex, crazy making, right? Or the manager who praises your work but denies you a promotion. And Dr. Grant calls these relationships frenemies, supposed friends who sometimes help you and sometimes hurt you. And these, my friends, as we all know, are crazy, crazy making relationships. And relationships that make us feel that we are on a never-ending roller coaster ride, never knowing from one day to another what to expect, are damaging. They are damaging to our health emotionally and even physically, which is interesting because one study found that adults had higher blood pressure after interacting with people who evoked these mixed kinds of feelings than after similar interactions with those who evoked only negative feelings. Another study conducted by psychologists Bert Uchimo and Julianne Holt Lundstad found that among older adults, and listen to this, the more ambivalent relationships that they had in their lives, the more depressed they felt, the more their heart rate spiked under stress, and the more their blood pressure climbed in response to stress over the next 10 months. So I'm asking you to take an honest, honest look at your relationships, and what are you finding? And if you're finding that you are in this crazy, crazy baking cycle of never quite knowing what to expect, is he or she, is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? Is it sometimes going to be good? And never knowing, never having that stability and that inner feeling of trust and confidence in the relationship. Of course, you know what I'm going to ask you. I mean, the real question then is, what are you going to do about it? So I want you to remember, that there are enormous emotional, psychological, and even physical consequences, as the studies, that's what they've told us, that invariably affect us sooner or later when we consciously or unconsciously allow and enable people to cross over a certain line. And this is particularly true if avoidance and then suppression and repression and denial or self-blame is a person's typical pattern of reacting to toxic people and toxic relationships. So again, I want to ask you, when you look at all of the different people in your life that you interact with on a regular basis, how do you rate these relationships? And even if you find there's just one relationship, one crazy making relationship that has hurt you and bothered you and made you feel bad, again, what are you willing, even if it's difficult, what are you willing to do? Are you going to go along? And in going along and enabling, what are we saying to a person where we're enabling bad behavior, whether it's addictions of various different kinds or abuse of various different kinds? If we're finding yourself, and I'm not talking about children because that is a whole different thing. If we as adults are enabling destructive or self-destructive or self-sabotaging behavior, what we're saying to the other person, and you may not really thought about it like this, we're saying that it's okay. It's okay for you to hurt me and to disrespect me and maybe humiliate me or offend me. So we need to muster up a lot of strength, inner strength, and courage, and be willing to step up to the plate and say, enough is enough. Okay. So it's truth time. And I'm all about truth. I've gotten to a point in my life, whether it's bad news or good news, I want to know what the news is. I don't want to lie to myself. I don't want to pretend. I want to know the truth, and I want to know the reality of what it is that is going on in my life and what is going on in my relationships. Well, it is water time. Okay. So I want to ask you a very important question. And I hope that you are going to be really, really honest with yourself. So are you ready? Okay. How many people in your life, past and present, have hurt you in a variety of ways that left you feeling wounded, humiliated, angry, or depressed? Okay? How many people, past and present, have hurt you in ways that have left you feeling wounded, humiliated, angry, or depressed? This is the question. A few? A lot? Or too many to remember? Were they friends? Were they family members? What about your partner or spouse or colleagues or acquaintances or even a clerk at a store or a receptionist in your doctor's or dentist's office who actually had the power to ruin your day, your weeks, your months, or even years? So what did you do at the time? That's really question number two. Were there a lot of people, past and present? And if you are defining a variety of different people who have really, you know, wounded you in a variety of different ways, what did you do at the time? Did you say something? Did you speak up? Or did you simply feel the hurt, the pain, the anger, or even the rage within your entire body silently chose to slither away? You know, initially, you know, the easy way out. Or, on the other hand, did you beat yourself up for being afraid or reluctant to confront the person or persons, which also is something that is, you know, obviously not particularly helpful? But today is a new day. And as my late father used to say, you know, to me, every day that we can't change yesterday, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but today is a new day, and we have an opportunity every single day to make some changes in our life. So the question then becomes, what are you going to do? So if there are people in your life who have hurt you or continue to hurt you, are you willing to try and create an opportunity to contact them and have the conversation that you probably wished that you had been brave enough to have when the incident first occurred? Because if this unfinished business is getting in the way of your life and perhaps your relationships, you need to take several deep breaths and make the call or send an email or a text saying something like, there are some things that I would like to talk with you about. And I believe that it's better to do this in person, if at all possible, assuming that you feel safe, of course. And as Dr. Grand reminds us, and just take this in, because I think it's a very, very powerful, powerful statement, that a relationship in which you can't be honest isn't a relationship at all. It's a charade. A relationship in which you can't be honest isn't a relationship at all. It's a charade. So basically, you have nothing to lose. And now, there is no guarantee that your feelings will be validated. However, you will have the satisfaction of knowing that you had the courage, and I know that this takes a lot of courage, and made the effort to try and keep people accountable for their behavior, whatever the outcome. Now, ideally, it would be great if we confront people who hurt us and they say, I'm really sorry, and I had a bad day, and I didn't realize that my comments, my words, or even my behavior was hurtful, and how can I make it up to you? Now, that would be the best case scenario, right? The best outcome. But that is not necessarily going to happen. So it's not so much about how the other person is going to respond or not respond. It's about what we actually need to do, what we actually need to say, regardless of the fact that we have absolutely no say whatsoever in terms of how the person is going to respond. So it's really about us, and it's about taking care of ourselves, and it is not allowing ever to allow people to hurt us, to disrespect us, to humiliate us in any way at all. And when you start to see these kinds of signs I mean, ideally, if you're in a relationship and you're assessing the relationship and you've tried to let the person know that this is hurtful, that this is not okay, and this person doesn't seem to care, I hope that you are going to be able to give yourself permission sooner than later to exit the relationship. We do not need toxic people in our lives. And, you know, one of my favorite sayings these years is that a little bit of poison is still poison. So I want you to think about this. And you may have some calls that you are going to want to make, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, with some people where you have some unfinished business that you are finally ready. And I hope that I've given you the encouragement and the love and the support to take care of your unfinished business. So in my how are you doing in terms of relationships, hopefully you are going to empower yourself with the maybe new knowledge that you now have and actually do something about it. All right, how are you doing professionally? Recently, I've heard of some people who I know, actually people who I treat, high-level executives who've been laid off just when you think that you're not going to have to worry about money or your job. And so it's a question of sometimes we don't have any power over what is going to be happening with our lives in a lot of ways, but certainly in terms of work. So if you are in a sketchy work situation right now, as I suggested to one young man that I actually treated in Chicago, it may be time to go and speak to a headhunter or a career advisor, because it may very well be the time, or it soon may be the time, where you're going to have to be looking at other professional and work options. How are you doing if it comes to issues like substance abuse? Are you struggling? I know a lot of people who have been struggling with substance abuse of various different kinds for most of their lives, whether or not we're talking about alcohol or various different kinds of recreational drugs or prescription medication. And if you are currently suffering and experiencing negative repercussions or relationship difficulties as a result of your possible substance abuse, I think we can make all kinds of excuses. I drank too much or I smoked too much. Are you willing to actually do something about it? And if need be, to reach out and ask for help. If you're looking at your physical health, how is your health generally? And are you basically in good health, where you're exercising and you have a yearly physical, including blood work every year? Do you follow your doctor's advice and take your medications as prescribed? Do you have an exercise protocol? You don't need to join a gym. You don't need to have exercise equipment. You walk at least 30 minutes a day most days. Are you eating a pretty, pretty healthy, well-balanced diet? And this is why every week, these same questions, these are the issues in our lives that will help us to feel good physically, emotionally, psychologically, relationally. And I think that we have to check in. I mean, some people check in once a year for their physical checkup. I want you, and I do this with myself, I want to check in, if not every day, at least every single week, and make sure that we are on a constructive path in various different areas in our life. What about your sleep? Are you getting enough sleep? 7 to 8 hours of restful sleep most nights? Or are you one of the people who is up half the night where you're gaming and you're looking at a variety of different things on the computers, including pornography, and then it's really getting in the way of your life, your mental health and your physical health as well. What about your sex life? Sexual orientation and gender, are you mostly satisfied with the quality and the quantity of your sex life? And if not, why not? And are you willing to actually do something about it, including having a tough, sometimes really tough conversation with your partner? You know, it's interesting. I received an email last week from a woman who reads my advice columns in Dan's papers, and she said that she was 35 and her husband was 32, and that they've been married for 3.5 years, and that they rarely, if ever, have any sex. And this actually started their lack of sex and lack of sex life really began right at the beginning of their marriage. And these were two people who had decided that they wanted to wait to have sex, maybe for religious reasons, she didn't quite say in her email. And so obviously, you know, something is up. And she also mentioned that when they were even trying to have intercourse, that he was not able to get or maintain or sustain an erection. So I immediately wrote back, as I do to everybody who sends me emails. I think that if people really want to reach out, and I know that it is never easy to be reaching out, even in an email, and asking, you know, a lot of tough personal questions, at least the person should have the integrity and the decency to respond. So I immediately responded to her. And I said, look, you're not overreacting. Something is definitely off. And in her email, she said that she was very, very, very reluctant to have the conversation. Well, obviously, the conversation really needs to take place. So she said that she was going to contact me and that we were going to schedule a session on the internet. Well, guess what happened? I would say it's 10 days now, and I never heard back from her. So I never heard back from her for probably a couple of reasons. One, she may not have been ready to actually do something. Two, she may have decided that she was not willing or comfortable, not that this kind of a conversation was going to be comfortable, whether it was with me or her husband in any case, to just let things go on as is and maybe hope for the best. And dream that perhaps, you know, one day she was going to wake up with her husband and everything was going to change without being willing to acknowledge and address and take whatever steps are necessary to resolve the problem. So, I mean, I offered to actually Zoom. I offered to substantially reduce my fee, as I oftentimes will do. And, you know, I'll let you know as we move forward whether or not I am going to hear anything from her. So again, she had to make a decision to do nothing or to take some difficult and awkward and perhaps embarrassing steps and tried to have a discussion with her husband about why he has no interest in having a sexual relationship with her. And of course, you know, one can ponder, you know, what is that about? Well, who knows? Is he addicted to porn? Is he gay? Is he having an extramarital relationship with someone? And it was interesting that in the email she talked about he was her perfect person, the perfect man, other than the sex. Well, the sex is clearly a problem about what's a bigger problem. And I know that you know what I'm asking you. The bigger problem is that this couple's communication and problem solving skills when it comes to important matters like their sex life, they don't have them. They're non-existent. So this perfect man and this perfect relationship, aside from the sex, you know, turns out to be not that perfect. But this is something that she is going to have to deal with or not deal with. I mean, that's the point. People can be upset about all kinds of things and take steps, positive steps, to try to, you know, really resolve issues, or do nothing, as many, many, many people do. And ultimately, you know, that's a decision that each of us really needs to make. And what about self-care? Again, do you take care of yourself physically and mentally and spiritually? And also a question that, you know, has been coming up more and more in my own practice is that, do you feel that you're living a life of purpose and spiritual satisfaction? Do you feel that, you know, you get up and there's a raison d'être, there's a reason that you're doing something other than just going through the day-to-day motions of living? Do you know how to relax and enjoy the beauty of life and nature around you? And do you try again and surround yourself with loving and supportive people who help you appreciate the joy and mysteries of life? And here again, if we're looking at relationships, have you learned to not engage with toxic people, including your family and friends, so-called friends, who hinder you in living a joyful, contented, and balanced life? And something else that I want to ask you, and really related to self-care, are you one of these people where your electronic devices are really interfering with the quality of your life and your relationships? I know that there was an article very recently, somebody that I know, you know, was writing about how you can't go anywhere, whether you're, you know, by yourself or with people, everybody seems to be on their phones. And for me, you know, being on your phones, it's making a statement. And what do you think that that statement is? At least for me, it's a stay away from me statement. You know, just don't come near me. And I think that whether it's boredom or whether or not it's fear of engaging with real life people in real life time, I mean, it's really a strong message. I mean, even walking on the streets, and I think that we all know this. I mean, you can bump into somebody who's walking down the street because they are looking at your phone. And this is something else. I mean, the whole internet and social media and the impact that it is having on our teens. And this was a show that I did a couple weeks ago. And if you missed it, you can go to the Progressive Radio Network archives. And our kids, they are in crisis for a variety of different reasons. Depression rates are up, suicide rates are up, and we certainly can't blame and completely, you know, social media. But there was a study that showed, I mean, that 7.5 or 7.75 hours a day, our kids are on their various different devices. And if you ask yourself that very, very, very same question, how much time are you spending on your own various electronic devices? And what is that really all about? Is it an avoidance of meeting people face to face? Are you bored? Are you scared? Are you out of practice of interacting with people? I know that I treat a couple of actually young men, and it's the gaming thing. They spend hours when they're not working. And they're both in the banking business. They've got big positions, so that when they come home, all they seem to do is these games. And I'm not a gamer, so I'm not even really sure about what kinds of games they play. But they've told me, honestly, that they spend hours and hours and hours and hours gaming. And what about your goals? Do you have clarity? Do you feel that you are on a track that you really want to be on? Do you believe that your goals are realistic and achievable? And even though you have yet to achieve them, do you feel that you're on the right path to eventually reach them? And again, if not, you know, what are you going to do to help navigate yourself better, whether it means reaching out and getting a second opinion from someone, or just calibrating yourself in the path that you are on your own? So all these questions, I mean, this is truth time, truth time. You know, hopefully you are on the right track. And if you're not, and we all get off track, we all get off track from time to time. And yet, what keeps us off track and on a downward spiral, it's not anybody else typically. It's our own avoidance and denial and blame and self-blame and defensiveness that keeps us from getting on a better path. And as I say, you know, all the time, it takes a lot of courage, so much courage, to be honest with ourselves and be willing, really willing, to deal and acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we can the various different things that continue to get in the way of our lives and our relationship. And yet, what are the consequences, my friends? What are the consequences if we refuse to step up to the plate and confront our demons, the old and the new? Well, you know, for those of you who have yet, hopefully today is a motivational show and you're going to decide today to make some changes and pivot. The thing is that if we don't confront our demons, it really, really becomes increasingly more difficult to fully enjoy your life. So I'm hoping every single week when we go through all of this that you are going to make a decision again to begin to live your life in better ways that are in your best interest. And this is something that I remind my patients all the time, to ask themselves as they are going through their days every single day, and ask themselves this one question. And the question is this good for me? And this can be, it can be anything, right? It can absolutely be anything, but to be mindful. And that's the thing, not just to be on our devices and phones and wasting, you know, a lot of time, to really be mindful as we go about our days, we go about our nights and weeks and months. Is this good for me? Am I being good to myself? Whether or not we're talking about lifestyle, or we're talking about relationships, or we're talking about mental health issues. And in doing that, we are constantly, you don't want to overdo it, but you know, you want to be aware. You want to be honest of how you were doing, and mostly how you are treating yourself, and making sure that you are not going to allow and enable anyone to cross over that line and to embarrass and hurt and discredit you in any way. And in that way, we are living our life in ways that are in our best interest. Well, I can't believe it. I've almost gotten through the show. oh my, I haven't coughed. I've had a lot of support from my husband and the producers at the Progressive Radio Network. Thank you, as always. And I want to leave you with my two weekly messages. The first, of course, as I've been saying on and on and on, is to make sure that you are living your life and doing things that are really and truly in your best interest. And that means monitoring and self-monitoring who is in your life, who you allow in your life, how you are living your life, you know, who you choose to interact with, how well and how committed you are to self-care in a variety of different ways. And of course, the second thing, and we certainly all over the world, we all need to be thinking about, and not just thinking about, and doing a much, 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 much better job in learning to love each other. And even if we don't love each other, at least accept each other and respect each other, despite our differences, our religious differences, our political differences, our sexual orientation differences, we need to come together, you know, not just as a country, but as a world where we can just respect others. And in doing so, we get so much back in terms of our own feelings of self-worth and of happiness. So it's 3:57 here in extraordinarily humid and hot New York City, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the day. And again, for all these years, I want to thank you all so much for listening. And really and truly, if you have questions or comments, give yourself permission to go to my beatycone.com website and, you know, shoot me over some questions. Although I don't like that word, send me over some questions. You can, you know, you can email me. All of my contact information is there. So again, I want to thank my wonderful producers at the Progressive Radio Network, just wonderful, wonderful people who really make it just a wonderful experience for me to be hosting the show here on the Progressive Radio Network. So I will talk with you all next week. Have a good day, have a good week, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye, everybody.